Good evening and welcome to tonight's Monroe City Council meeting. This is the regular meeting for June 23rd, 2015. This time right now is 7 p.m. Ms. Smith, will you call the board, please?
Certainly, council members present and establishing a quorum are Hanford, Cutaback, Rasmussen, Camp, Gamble, and Yaring.
Thank you. The first item that we have on our agenda is the Pledge of Allegiance. Councilmember Hanford.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And it probably comes as a surprise to nobody, but I did receive correspondence earlier today from Senator Pearson's office expressing that he would not be able to make it to tonight's council meeting. The reason being is that he is back in session with the rest of the legislature about the budget. And so staff has reached out to them to see about rescheduling his presentation, and we will let them know on the extended agenda when that has been scheduled. The next item we have on our agenda this evening is a presentation from the Salary Commission. Mr. Coonan, please state your name and address.
My name is Brian Coonan. My address is 15383 171st Ave, Southeast, Monroe, Washington, 98272. First, I'd like to, as a representative of the Salary Commission, I'd like to thank the mayor and the council for allowing us this time to report back on our final decision from the council. The council is made up of three people right now: Aaron, Angus Snapka, Dave Van Kirk, and myself, Brian Coonan. On June 4th, 2015, the Salary Commission voted on the following items that we will be reporting on. The Salary Commission voted to raise the council compensation to be $800 per month. The compensation will be effective July 1st, 2015. The Salary Commission also voted to raise the compensation of the mayor by $600 per month. The new monthly salary for the mayor will be $3,600. Again, this compensation will be effective July 1st, 2015. The commission came to this decision after reviewing several things. We, as a team, we met and reviewed data from the following cities: Arlington, Lake Stevens, Bonnie Lake, Tumwater, Oak Harbor, Snoqualmie, and Battleground. Just to be clear, we used those as, we used our population base as the bell curve shape for these cities that we picked. Although most of these cities currently have compensations that are equaling to the Monroe compensation that you currently have, we did find out that for all these cities, they were only meeting twice a month as a city council. They did have several other committee meetings that they have, but we did note that you also have the same quantity of committee meetings that they have, and you do meet four times per month, sometimes five depending on the month and the situation. So that was one of the reasons why we looked at increasing your compensation. You actually met twice as much as the other cities. The commission also looked at and discussed what a fair compensation should be to attract and retain good people for our positions of city council and mayor. The discussion looked at how the Monroe City Hall City has a great deal on its plate right now, with no end in sight to the growth and the changes that are coming to the city. We also looked at how lack of candidates for election came up this year. We were a little lean on, we did have, I believe, one open position, but that was something that came into our discussion. And we also looked at that the compensation for a lot of the civic events by Monroe's elected officials were not paid events. You would be surprised to find out that for some cities, the council and the mayor do get paid for some of the civic event activities, like ribbon cutting and things like that. That was one of the compensation activities. The team also set up our meeting rules and structure for the Salary Commission. The Salary Commission will again meet in August of this year so that we can get on a regular schedule of meeting every August. We did also decide that the position should start at the beginning of July, not in January, because there's no activities from January through the end of June, really. So we're asking that we shift. The new person will come on board at the end of at the beginning of July. And the person leaving would be at the end of June. Per the mandate that was driven by this council, these are the final decisions of the Salary Commission. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your work.
Thank you.
The next item we have on the agenda this evening is a proclamation for Amateur Radio Week. Okay, so proclamation Amateur Radio Week. Whereas amateur radio operators have been instrumental in providing behind-the-scenes support for our emergency response and other critical needs, and whereas amateur radio operators serve as bridges between people, communities, and countries, and whereas amateur radio operators have volunteered countless hours of community service during times of calm and in times of emergency, and whereas the City of Monroe values the services that amateur radio operators deliver to emergency response organizations, including the Monroe Emergency Management Office, and whereas beginning June 27, 2015, a 24-hour amateur radio field day exercise will take place to demonstrate radio amateur operators' skills and readiness to deliver self-supporting communication. Now, therefore, I, Jeffrey Thomas, proclaim June 21st through June 28th as 2015 as Amateur Radio Week in Monroe, and I encourage residents and businesses to join me in thanking amateur radio operators for their service. Yes, Speaker. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you very much for your service.
Thank you.
This next item is comments from citizens. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issues related to the City of Monroe, any quasi-judicial matters subject to a public hearing. We have a sign-in sheet, and comments are limited to 5 minutes per person. And Liz, do you know how to operate this? I'm sorry, Brad's gone. Okay. The first person that we have to speak is Ms. Heidi Webster. Ms. Webster, please come forward and state your name and address for the record. Thank you.
Heidi Webster, 13015 Ingram Road, Monroe. I sent a letter, an email to the mayor last week. I don't think you got it. Did you?
No, I haven't been able to respond.
Did you receive it?
Yes.
Oh.
I have not been able to respond yet.
Okay, so my idea is to develop a public forum where we can get as many people as possible together to address the issues of homelessness, panhandling, and loitering. And if we all form a big team, we come together as a group, we put our ideas together, hopefully we could start eradicating a lot of the homeless people. So is that, do you think that's something we could do, or what?
This is public comment. I'll say this. I did get your email, and I've been looking it over with staff, and I'll be back in touch.
Okay, great.
I think it is something that we are interested in doing.
Okay.
I just need to work with staff, and they're on vacation this week. So.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there any other member of the public that would like to come forward to speak this evening? Come on forward. Please state your name and address for the record.
So my name is Sandra Atkins, and my address is 20554 Horizon Way Southeast, Monroe. And I've come to speak about the code for the grease traps in downtown Monroe on Main Street. I'm interested in reopening the cafe, The Hitching Post. I spoke with members of the city here before with the land and water development and what have you, and the code is calling for a osculating, terminating grease trap. It's a pretty expensive piece of equipment, about $20,000, and that doesn't include the fact that they would have to dig up a big space in the alley to submerge it and what have you. So apparently there was some meeting with the Chamber of Commerce a couple weeks ago and the owner of the building where they discussed the possibility of amending some type of regulations on that code for the grease trap, and something to think about. Because at this point in time, unless the landlord is willing to put in the grease trap, or somebody's willing to amend the code, or the rules say that you cannot have a dishwasher, you can only have a 3-sink sanitizing system, and the type of cafe that I want to run, which would be a breakfast and lunch cafe with a lot of carry out and homemade items, I don't feel like the health department would be very favorable to a 3-sink sanitizing system.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there any other member of the public that would like to come forward to speak this evening? Anybody at all? Okay. Thank you. The next item we have on the agenda is the consent agenda. Council members, your motion. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Motion to approve consent agenda.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Rasmussen to approve the consent agenda, and then I have a second from Councilmember Cutaback. Please let the record show that Councilmember Davis entered the room at 7:10 and is present for this vote. Any discussion on the motion to approve the consent agenda? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion passes 7-0. The next item we have on our agenda is unfinished business item number 1, AB 15-113, discussion 2015 conference and plan update. Mr. Osaka. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, even though what you have in your packet is probably the heart and soul of the comprehensive plan, I'm going to be somewhat brief tonight, because what you have in your packet is the goals and policy section that the Planning Commission has been working on. They have not made a recommendation on it yet, but they are very, very close to feeling very comfortable with what you have in your packet as the goals and policies that they ultimately will recommend to you. Just as a matter of format, because it may look a little different than what you've seen before, all the goals and policies now have been moved into one chapter of the comprehensive plan. All the policies relate to 8 goals that the Planning Commission is at this point planning to recommend. So there's 8 goals in that section and a series of policies supporting each goal. And then if you look at the format, there are a column of issues like housing, land use, capital, facilities, and there X marks in there. So now every policy is cross-referenced to a specific topic within the overall comprehensive plan. So all the policy statements and all the goal statements for the Planning Commission in terms of how they wanted to present it are now in one particular chapter of the comprehensive plan. In terms of what you have in your packet, you'll see that some of the policies are in italics. There's some lines that have nothing in them. Those are all formatting issues. Those are just items that the Planning Commission is working through. The italics were so that they could keep track of some policies that were originally in the April 3rd public release draft versus policies that they've created on their own or they've changed. And when this all comes to you, all those formatting issues will be taken care of. So substantively, what you have in your packet tonight pretty much reflects the work to date of the Planning Commission on all the goals and policies. And just very quickly, in terms of the goals, there are 8 goals. Maintain, and I'm just paraphrasing. So one deals with maintaining a safe, secure city, managing Monroe's environmental and natural resources is a goal related to economic development, a goal related to development, ensuring land use compatibility within the city, another goal on housing, providing for a range of housing types, a goal related to utility and transportation, making sure that utility and transportation improvements meet the city growth and development, a goal related to parks and recreation, and also making sure that parks and recreation facilities meet the needs of the growth within the community. And then the 8th goal relates to downtown. So those are the key goals within the comprehensive plan. There are policies that support those. There's actually 223 policies. I counted them last night. To some extent, there are some of the same policies support different goals. So there's some duplication, not a lot, of policies within the document, but overall, 8 goals, 223 policies. That's where the Planning Commission is right now. We want to try to get this for you now so that you have some time to look at it before the Planning Commission ultimately makes its recommendation. And really what the Planning Commission is focusing on right now is readability on the other chapters. And they pretty much green-lighted staff to rewrite some of those chapters to make it more crisp and more readable to the general public. So that's the status right now. I'm a little cautious in saying this. One planning commissioner said if you think they can see the light at the end of the tunnel, but I'm still thinking they're going to doing a little bit more work on this plan before they make this recommendation. But the real substantive stuff, like I said, the heart and soul of the plan, the goals and policies, I think the Planning Commission is pretty much done.
Thank you. Councilmember Gary.
Thanks. I love the format. It's what we asked for. You can see the matrix of where everything belongs, what it applies to. And I can speak to having watched some of the deliberations and the level of effort that those guys are going to review all this stuff as we ask them to do. So I look forward to the recommendation whenever we get that. But as far as seeing where everything applies, I mean, the laid out in a way that is visually pleasing. It's informative. It's easy to see where each thing belongs, and I really appreciate that. Again, I mean, we're making an effort to have a comprehensive plan that's user-friendly, and I don't think a lot of the cities do that, so I'm excited that we're actually taking the time to do it, where someone's going to be able to pick it up and have it be more user-friendly than maybe any other comp plan they've seen. At least I would hope so. So appreciate the effort, and thanks for the update as well. Thank you.
Council members, any other questions? Councilmember Cutback.
Well, just comment. I also really like the format. You know, having the policies right under the goal and then the elements is really helpful. Just a question about the downtown. It's on the very, very last page. I really like how the policy of the appropriate lighting and also parking structure and parking lot. And I don't remember. I mean, we've talked about that. I don't know if we said put it in or the Planning Commission, but I like it. I like fleshing that out just a little bit more because those are some issues that have kind of bubbled up over the last couple months. So I like how we added that in there. So I'll just take it that it was my idea.
Sure was. <Thanks. laughs>
I remember that.
But I like it. So. Thank you.
Your idea or not your idea?
Yeah,
I'm from the idea.
Short answer.
Are there any other questions or comments? Thank you very much, Dave.
Thank you.
All right, the next item on the agenda is under new business. And I think there are pictures and everything.
There are.
Yes, pictures. I appreciate the pictures.
The fat and the grease pants.
Yes. So this is new business item number one. It's AB 15-114. It's discussion on our fats, oils, and greases ordinance, also called the fog ordinance. And Mr. Feilberg, are you going to be presenting up there?
Thank you, Ms.
No.
Okay. No projection.
Okay. Good, because I ate before.
I would. I'm going to save you from the visuals.
Yeah.
Thank you. At the request of the council, we brought up a little discussion of the fats, oils, and grease ordinance contained in the city's pretreatment code, which is chapter 13.10 of the Monroe Municipal Code. This has been evolving over almost the last 2 decades. The last biggest push was when we were sued by the Waste Action Project for our NPDES, which is National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System, discharge violations. And part of that decree was that we created a new pretreatment ordinance, which included fog, oils, and greases limitations, as long as other things, toxics and metals and things like that. That had been going on for a few years, and we've been finding when people were moving or businesses were coming in, it was really hard for them to understand when they needed to do things, and also hard for staff to figure out when people needed things. And so we brought it back to the council last year and actually clarified things by making it a requirement that all food service establishments install a grease interceptor of some kind, and then differentiated between when they needed a hydromechanical grease interceptor or a gravity grease interceptor. Hydromechanical grease interceptors are smaller, They can go into the sink and take out some of the grease. And that, at that point, gravity grease interceptors are larger, 500 or to 1,000 gallons or even bigger, and they just go outside the building. There's like a septic tank used to trap the grease, the fats and oils before it goes into the sewer system. And the reason we want to do that is because those things have a tendency to, you know, come off the works, so to speak. And you have some pictures in your packet of showing pumps that get clogged up. It also causes problems at the wastewater treatment plant. You have the picture of the foaming that occurs occasionally when we have the big problems with fats, oils, and greases that cause the, you know, head on a beer to bubble up over the wastewater treatment plant, you know, come out of the tanks and fill up the building.
You just compared beer.
It's a fermentation, right? It's a fermentation product, you know? Okay. Little bacteria eating things, giving out gas. it's all the same. So, in order to keep that from happening and make sure that things don't back up, we have in the past actually had large clumps of grease back up the sewers and have the sewage back up into businesses downtown. So, you know, that's something unpleasant. It also causes the fouling of our monitoring equipment at the lift stations, which can cause them to overflow. So that's where we are at with this ordinance that has specific requirements for who has to put one in and what kind we have to put in. Question would be asked is what happens if we don't do that? It's not the end of the world or anything like that. There are not any, you know, strict federal requirements that say that you can't have that in your wastewater stream, such as some metals and other toxins which won't be treated and they'll go out in the river and kill the salmon. So you can't, absolutely can't allow those things. What would probably happen is that we have more expenses for city staff doing more monitoring of the sewer system and also more cleaning of the lines and the lift stations so that we would not have any backups or problems with the maintenance or the level control of the lift stations. So that's the extent of my remarks right now. And Mayor, if there's anybody who would like to have questions, I'd be happy to answer them. And also our wastewater treatment plant manager, John Landy's here. Do you have any other questions?
Okay, thank you very much. We have Councilmember Gearing and Councilmember Hanford. Councilmember Gearing.
Thanks. And thanks, Brad, for the update as well on this. There's got to be a focus on what we can do versus what we can't do. I would hope so. We want to be a city we can work with, and I know we need to. We have this. This seems to be to conflict with an opportunity to develop economically downtown, and maybe in some other areas as well. The particular case that was mentioned downtown, that being the oldest part of town and the narrowness, and is it really feasible to do that? Cost prohibitive. Ultimately, I guess I'd be looking for what are suggestions, what are ideas, what are options for exemptions in cases like wherever. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. You could have a legitimate business that people are, you know, wanting to go to and enjoy, and you couldn't open it simply because of the cost of doing this, perhaps. To me, there's something about that that just doesn't seem right. That seems counterproductive to what we're trying to do. I understand. I mean, that there's fines and there's extra work and there's in these pictures. At the same time, I do believe there are other restaurants downtown that didn't have to do that, that may have opened. I think there's a well-attended one downtown. At least I don't know. I think that I heard that where they didn't have to do this. Because perhaps
they opened prior to
us actually doing this, which, again, as I'm thinking, that kind of defeats the purpose of, there is grease coming out of there that we're not doing anything about. Not that we don't want to do something about it, we should. But as I'm looking at this, there's the letter of law and there's the spirit of law, and we want to be flexible where we can be flexible. And so I'd love to find out how we can make this work for people, specifically downtown, in those areas that it's tight, where the buildings are old, where it'd be different if you're opening up somewhere, even in, let's say, the industrial area, where there's not the tight spaces, maybe there's not, I'm just trying to think of, you know, other places in town where there might not be either the space confinement or the age of the pipes and the other things around where
it's a cost that might be more easily absorbed than a place downtown. So all that to say, I want to make sure that we, with the lodge that we have on the books, are as flexible as possible for people to be able to, you know, open their business, in particular downtown, as we've heard on a couple of them. Might be a little extra work. I want to make sure we're as flexible as possible, and I guess I'll just leave my comments.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. I'm pretty much in agreement with what was said. My concern is, in the paragraph, what happens without these requirements? At the bottom there, it says, the pretreatment ordinance specifically is not a federal or state requirement. However, the city is required per NPDES permit to follow the pretreatment section S6, which states that the city must not authorize or knowingly allow any solid or vicious pollutants in amounts that could cause obstruction to the flow in sewers or otherwise interfere with the operation of the POTW. So my concern is, can we even do a waiver in this instance legally?
Yes, because it's written that if you increase your cleaning of catch basins or manholes and sewer lines, then it's not in a concentration that will affect. So you just have to do it at the back end rather than the front end.
Okay, I'm pretty much in agreement. We're trying to... It's a catch-22. We're trying to build the downtown, and yet we got to get these things taken care of, so maybe there's a way we can split the difference or do something creative, you know. Thanks.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble?
Yeah, I guess my question is on the same paragraph, but mine was more around, because I can see specifically, like, when we use the example of the hitching post, Brad, that, I mean, that one's hitting because it's a change of ownership, right? So I look at the paragraph that says, well, we would have to increase our frequency. If it's not a change of use, it really wouldn't be a change of frequency on the cleaning. If that's what it was prior, the prior utilization was already for basically the same thing. I guess I don't understand how that's an impact to the budget of that amount when it's not currently, you know, I mean, previously it was kind of, it was the same
restaurant.
It was a restaurant.
So this is not discussing one particular instance. This is the ordinance in total.
Got it. Because what I'm looking at though is in total. If we were just to look at the establishments at downtown that have been used as restaurants previously, right? Mm-hmm. The capability now, as opposed to, I mean, I guess we're talking two different things. But for me, when I look at it, if it's a facility that's already been used for that function, we're already kind of used to that type of maintenance. I'd be much more willing, because I read through this whole thing, and I completely appreciate, you know, where we're going with it and all the line errands. But the ones that where I was troubled was when I got to the end. I was like, well, for those establishments that we've already been using in that capacity, really wouldn't be an increase. Really, the only change, if we were to go for the whole ordinance, as you said, would just be if we were going to entertain that idea for a new establishment, where that basically we're going to change the function or change it. I mean, to me, it just makes more sense from the, if it's an actual change of use of the facility, as opposed to just the change of ownership. If it's a change of use of the facility, then that's an impact to us that we hadn't experienced before, right? I'd be interested in your comments.
And just for clarification, I generated this agenda bill, and so that estimate, and it's hard to estimate, you know, what's the cost? What's the cost going to be?
Sure.
And I looked at that as eliminating the entire pretreatment fog program. Okay, so that's not just the cost of not allowing, say, the businesses on Main Street not to put in the grease containment facilities, especially just a one
sure
situation. So that's an extremely minimal impact to the system as a whole. May have significant impact to the user, input to our system, it would be minimal. What's hard is, and I appreciate the discussion, because it's what we've struggled with for a long time. And when we established this pre-treatment program and started going after the fog and trying to contain it, it was easy for the new chain restaurants.
Correct.
Okay, they're used to putting in other cities. They don't ask if they needed an interceptor. They ask how big.
Yeah.
Correct.
But when we're trying to, and then we have the established restaurants on Main Street, and we didn't want to just go down and say, gotta have it, or we're going to shut the doors. That's not what we're about. That's not what we wanted to do.
Yeah.
So that's the struggle. And when Brad mentioned we came back about a year ago to try to clarify some of the language, it was the help of that ambiguity that, to be, you know, fairness, to try to achieve what we're trying to do, but be fair and helpful for people who want to start a business in the restaurant. I don't know if that clarified.
No, I think the only other, it did clarify, but it even makes me lend more to, more like building code, right? I mean, you go to sell a home, you know, I don't have to go and bring everything up to code if the house to 2015 code if it was built in 1964 or 1969, right? So there's a piece of me that thinks that, you know, in some way we should be looking at, you know, that more through that lens, because it is, you said it beautifully with, you know, the impact to the single business, you know, the business owner there is much bigger than to us as a city. And I would actually contend that, you know, the pickup that we get by the revitalization and the investment, you know, from that, you know, potentially offsets. And then I'm just looking at, you know, what's the actual cost, right? You know, especially if it's something that we're already doing because we know that that doesn't exist. Okay, go ahead.
And just also for clarification, this pre-treatment program and our execution of fall containment, that didn't stop the grease coming from the treatment plant. Mm-hmm. It just reduces it. Mm-hmm. It's a daily, sometimes nightmare. Most of our collection system on the filings and the lift stations that have some of our worst grease problems have no restaurants. Okay, so this ordinance doesn't stop the fog. It just helps. Mm-hmm. Don't consider it like your own body. You try to minimize
right.
The fact that goes into you. So,
with that being said, and I'm interested. I appreciate the feedback and the input because you are the expert on this. We're looking at, because I think we're all kind of looking at this thinking, okay, what's we want to do the right thing, but we also are very conscious that, okay, you know, hey, this is, you know, it's not Seattle downtown historical, you know, buildings where it's more, but it is, it's our historic downtown, and doing any sort of work on those facilities, I mean, that's pretty intensive, or just basically, hey, it's not going to happen, you know, because it's cost prohibitive, you know, across the board. But you're also trying to put in the investment. If I look at that stretch, is, you know, I went into this with the thought process. Everything I've read so far hasn't deterred me from my kind of thought process around if it's an established building, you know, built between X, Y, X time period, not new construction, and then we would maybe, you know, that it wouldn't have to have that type of trap, as opposed to if it is a, you know, a new construction, new building, you know, just like you would do today. If I'm going to go build a new building, I got to build it to 2015 building code. And I guess, just from your, I mean, would you see that as, you know, adding, would it be that big of an impact if we were to approach it in that type of strategy?
On utility, no. No, that sort of an impact would be minimal, because we're only talking about a few buildings,
yeah.
Potentially three or four new establishments. That's a small impact on the utility.
Okay.
I don't have the solution, however, to how do we make that work?
Right.
How do we, you know, what's a tenant improvement? Is it painting the walls, or is it, you know, where do you, right, and...
No, I appreciate the response, because that's really what I'm asking you, is what's the impact to the utilities, right? If it's going to put us in, and then, you know, I don't even want to go down that road, if it's going to be impact is that big as a utility. But that's exactly what I was looking for. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
John, what's TI? It says the ordinance is triggered by change in status, so they have change of ownership, TI, or change of use. What's TI?
Tenant improvement.
Oh, okay. So that's what you were just talking about. Okay.
And then, you know, what, collective funds that tenant improvement.
Well, yeah. So, listening to what other council members say, I mean, a tenant improvement, we want to encourage people to improve their buildings also. So, and also the change of ownership, that's going to prohibit maybe someone buying a restaurant that's been empty or being able to sell a restaurant knowing that there could be that liability of having a, you know, to come in and put a $20,000 interceptor in. Can you go over the two different types of those? I heard gravity. What was the other one?
Yeah, he did a nice job. It's kind of confusing. Even though there's just two of them, I mix up sometimes too. And essentially their function is a hydromechanical grease interceptor is a small device typically put underneath a sink.
Okay.
And so with an establishment, so when they wash dishes and things like that, the grease from the plates, if they're hand washed in the sink, that grease will be contained in that small device. A gravity grease interceptor, or GGI, is plumbed to a dishwasher. So if an establishment has a commercial dishwasher, it's a larger tank that acts much like a septic tank. And it's typically placed outside the establishment, sometimes in a building, typically outside the establishment, underground. And that allows the, when many dishes are washed with the idea of grease on them, the hot water emulsifies the grease, and the GGI allows detention time, allows it to solidify, and allows us to collect the grease before it is introduced to the collection system.
So if any restaurant has a commercial-grade dishwasher, they have to have this gravity?
That has been our requirement.
Okay.
If you're a food, well, there's a couple requirements, but if you're a food service establishment, the definitions are in my home. But if you make a certain amount of food, you're required to. If you have a commercial dishwasher and prepare food, you are required to.
But having a commercial dishwasher might not have anything to do with how much food you prepare. It could be
That's correct. It's not number of plates. It's if you have a dishwasher.
Right.
And commercial it's all based on a commercial dishwasher.
Yeah.
And it's all based on trying to meet the pre-treatment ordinance, which is a requirement of our permit.
Right.
We don't know if an establishment, I don't know if a new establishment is going to exceed that limit.
Sure.
But we know they'll meet it if they have a properly maintained grease interceptor.
Right. So there's no flexibility to have a gravity one that just catches in the sink versus the more expensive hydro.
It's really about the size. It's really about the size of the tank when it's hooked to the dishwasher that does the volume and the temperature. It needs to have that size to allow the detention time for that volume to solidify.
Okay.
And so, any time that there's a commercial dishwasher, the gravity of a larger tank
is required.
Is required.
Okay. Yeah, I can understand the struggle. I can understand the competing interests. I have a little bit issue with the change of ownership and the tenant improvement that triggers it, just because I think that makes it very difficult to sell a business or to buy a business if all of a sudden you have to come in and make a change. Now, when the use changes, I get that. I mean, we do that with zoning or anything else. Something is already established in an area and then we change the zoning code. That business is usually still allowed unless it's sold and they're doing something, changing the use or adding on or making, that's my only, it makes it incredibly difficult for a person coming in, and it's not even just downtown. What I appreciate, we want to encourage downtown. I look at this when it's the same use, and so it's not changing any impact on the system. It's just that it changed owners. And so that's difficult for me, and I think we need to find some way to work around this. I appreciate your comment of, it's a significant impact to the user, but minimal, impact to the city, especially for this instance. So I'm not sure if we need to amend the code or, that's what the ordinance, if that's the next step, would probably be it. But we understand your plight. I think that's what you're hearing. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. I agree with most of the comments I've heard. I just need some clarification. You said that Freiland's or a non-restaurant area is causing you an issue with grease on just this domestic use, right?
Some of our worst stations, and typically now my staff works with the stations, and that those are the gravity lines will flow to a large tank that has prime central lift into our city. That's essentially is acting as the gravity grease interceptor.
In a comparison to downtown, worse, the same, much less? I'm trying to get a scale.
Some are less. Most of them are less. Some of them, in certain areas, are worse.
Just domestically. I mean, homes, that type of thing, as opposed to a restaurant.
That can have a lot to do with hydraulics and flow and things through the station as well.
Okay.
But typically, the stations that have the lowest flow, again, act like the gravity grease interceptor, allows that grease to solidify and form large mass that are troublesome.
And in terms of collection, I mean, for domestic, essentially, the collection, the grease collection occurs at the treatment plant? Or it occurs in the manhole, and that's where you do it?
We handle and maintain or try to take care of the grease throughout the entire system.
Okay.
Our utility department will take out our backer truck, and we'll go out and they'll jet the lines, because it collects on the pipe,
right,
and closes and clogs blockages that way. So we collect it in the arterials out in our collection system. We treat it at our lift stations. We'll go and we'll backdraw all that material out, clean that out, take it out there, and then ultimately, yes, what doesn't get collected in the collection system comes down to us.
Okay.
And it adds its challenges.
Okay, so I'm thinking in terms of downtown. We have multiple restaurants there, and currently the requirement would be a single collection unit, and I can't remember the name of it, at each restaurant or food preparation area connected to the dishwasher, right?
That's true.
So the possibility of the issues of having a single collection point downtown for the old area would have all those other issues that you're dealing with domestically, with the additional piping, that getting clogged, who's responsible, from building A, which is a restaurant, to building B, which is a clothing store. Obviously, one's going to be producing a lot of the problem, the other one virtually none, right?
Yeah.
So, okay. I agree with what I've heard about the issues with a previous restaurant remaining a restaurant. And I want to encourage any downtown activity and new businesses that we can bring down there. That's just about all I got. Thank you.
I do see that Councilmember Cutterback has her light on. It seems clear to me, I'll come back to you, it seems clear to me that the council would be on board with having staff rewrite sections of the code. I think every one of us, I know every one of us, understands that downtown is unique. We've got older buildings, older infrastructure, and that we're all committed to revitalization of the downtown. And so what I'll do is have staff amend the code I want to get a little bit of understanding as to why the change of ownership, for example, but we'll look at things like removing the change of ownership. We'll take a look if there's a threshold, like if you're going to do a full demo rebuild, it makes sense to bring that up to code, but if you're just doing some tenant improvements and you've got the same level of fog as today, not a significant increase, it seems that you should be able to continue having... it seems that you should not be in a position to have to install one of these. So what I would do then is go ahead and what I will do is direct staff to go ahead and make some amendments, bring that back. And since time is of the essence and that we do want downtown revitalization to occur sooner than later, I'll see if we can get staff to bring the material back as early as July 7th for discussion, if not in a final form, so that we can then proceed with a public hearing. This is probably required in action. Okay, he's telling me no. So that's what I'll go ahead and proceed with. Does anybody have any disagreement with that direction?
No.
Okay.
No.
Councilmember Cutterback.
John, you mentioned, and I just wanted to piggyback on the comment about residential or the Frylands. Is there any requirement of new development to have one catch or the gravity and
no, not in our domestic areas.
Okay.
No.
And is
we just try to
do we incentive?
Educate the best we can.
Okay.
Sometimes you may see we'll provide a mailer. They may be dealing with toxics. Please don't put down your antifreeze,
yeah.
Things like that. Then we'll talk about personal wipes, which
yeah.
is another problem.
Yeah.
Or sometimes we'll talk about fog. We'll put out mailers to try to educate, but for the most part, it's pretty difficult.
Okay. And what's the cost of the gravity system?
That's hard for me to estimate. It's the cost of the tank and it's
$6,000
plus insulation.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, that'd be pretty expensive. And do other cities incentivize some way to encourage maybe homeowners to put one in and get a reduction on rates over time because that's good for the system? Good.
Not with domestic.
Okay.
Domestic.
Okay.
It's just typically in the industrial.
Yeah, which though if we see a high number and coming from the residential and knowing that people continually do things like that and
yeah.
might not pay as much attention, businesses
yeah.
might actually pay more attention to that than.
And again, just a clarification so you can do all your
yeah.
and see you have images of what this is about, but it's really about numbers
yeah.
in the. Yeah, say like up in the Frylands, we're talking hundreds of homes.
Yeah.
Where,
one business, two
where
business.
The main Highway 2 corridor in North
yeah.
Kelsey, the 50 or so restaurants or so food service establishments there will generate far more grease
mm-hmm.
than the 800 homes they have.
Okay.
But because we see these problem areas, we're talking many, say hundreds of homes coming to a small tank. It's really the individual home doesn't produce enough grease to justify the cost of a large tank. But when 800 homes are coming to a couple lift stations, it all accumulates there. And that's what we see. So it's really a cumulative effect out in the domestic areas.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Okay, so when we get to extended agenda, just remind me I'm marking on here, but July 7th, we'll continue this conversation and have a draft ordinance for council to discuss and consider. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next item that we have on our agenda this evening is is new business item number 2, AB 15-115, authorized mayor to sign addendum to concessionaire agreement. Mr. Farrell.
Thank you, Mayor. The city's contracted food and drink concessionaire has requested an addendum to the existing agreement for services with the city of Monroe to offer kayak rentals at the Lake Tide Park concession stand for this 2015 summer season. This type of rental activity is supported as an objective in our park plan, and as far as impact to our budget, the concessionaire shall pay the same percentage gross sales each month as they do with the food and drink sales for this operation of 10% of gross sales with an estimated start date of July, which is coming up. And at least two time constraints, the concessionaire would like to be ready to start the rental program by the beginning of July in order to have rentals available for a longer summer season. And that's all I have.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
Mike, is it restricted to kayaks or could they do paddle boats? And I mean, I see it says kayaks and related equipment offered for rental use, but is it?
They are requesting kayak rentals. That's what they would be able to do this summer.
Okay, so just kayaks.
Yes.
Okay. And it's only for 1 year.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, I'd make a motion if you're with it for a motion.
Yes, sir.
Motion to authorize the mayor to sign the first addendum to the concessionaire agreement with Big Dogs to provide concession services in Sky River and Lake Tide Parks and expressly authorize further minor revisions to the extent deemed necessary or appropriate.
Second. Yeah, first from Councilmember Gamble, a second from Councilmember Rasmussen. Any discussion on the motion? Councilmember Gamble.
Thank you. Mike, on the duration, hours of operation, well, why? Just curious why it was going to be discontinued on 3 days in July, 1 day in August, one in September.
That's existing events where the lake is being utilized for wakeboard and triathlon and model boat races.
I figured.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Any other discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is new business item number 3. And new business item number 3 is AD 15-116, award contract to Trimax Construction Incorporated for the Turney Place Southeast Extension Project. Mr. Fowler.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We welcome bids for this project, which is the extension of Turney Place from Chain Lake Road to Woods Creek Road. On June 18th, we had 5 bidders, ranging from a little bit more than $3.5 million to $4.4 million. The engineer's estimate was $3.5 million. After reviewing the bids, checking references, and making sure everyone did their math correctly, the apparent low was Trimax Construction in the amount of $3,548,830.69. This project is being funded mostly by a Transportation Improvement Board grant and also from money that is contributed by PUD, since they are going to be placing their new City of Monroe office and yard next to that location, so it gives them good access to that property. That's the extent of my comments, Mr. Mayor. If anyone has any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
I'll start with a motion to award the Turney Place Extension Project to Trimax Construction Incorporated in an amount of $3,548,832.69, along with funds per section 4.2.1.3 of the procurement policies and procedures for possible change orders, authorize the mayor to sign the construction contract thereto, and expressly authorize further minor revisions to the extent deemed necessary or appropriate.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Gamble, a second from Councilmember Camp. Any discussion on the motion? Councilmember Hanford.
Yes, thank you. Brad, what is the time allowed for the construction?
200 working days.
So it looks like they want to start this summer.
They want to start. They'll start this summer, but they won't get it finished probably until it starts raining too much in the fall, so we'll have to finish in the spring.
Okay. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for going.
You never
know. Done in August.
Okay, any other discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion passes 7-0. I thought I heard ayes coming from the audience.
Probably.
I just need to say, this is a project that was discussed when I was on council over a decade ago. And to see you all vote tonight to authorize the beginning of construction, not design, not an application for TIB, that's pretty cool. And to be able to see the light at the end of the tunnel that you'll be able to drive on another east-west connection from Woods Creek all the way over to North Kelsey, where Fred Meyer is a big deal for this community. You all should take a brief moment and just reflect on what you just authorized. It's pretty cool. So, thank you.
Thank you for the staff.
Yeah, thank you. The next item that we have is final action number 1. This is AD 15-117, ordinance number 010-2015, the 2015 budget amendment for final reading. Ms. Nelson.
No changes from the first reading, and I am happy to answer any questions anyone may have.
Thank you. Councilmember Garrett.
No questions, but I'll make a motion. I move to adopt ordinance number 010-2015, amending the budget for fiscal year 2015 to account for actual beginning fund balances, any revenues and expenditures, authorizing and setting forth supportive findings for the use of certain reserves in the city's contingency fund, in accordance with the city's adopted reserve policy, providing for severability and establishing an effective date.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Gehring, a second from Councilmember Camp. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion passes 7-0. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is Councilmember reports. Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you. Again, just a great time of year in town. Got to see triathlon and all the cool things going on, all the baseball, the sports, everything is just a blast. And love this town and this time of year and all the stuff going on in the parks. Thanks.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, lots of stuff going on in the parks. I apologize for my absence last week when I was with the Sky Valley Majors Girls All-Stars at Phil Johnson Fields in Everett, where I'm happy to report we won our first game in a long time. It was really nice at the All-Star level, and the Minors Girls did as well, represented very well, won two. So the All-Star season has already started. The girls are finishing, and now the boys are heading up. I think they start on Friday at Phil Johnson's Field. So all you guys that want to support our local Little League teams, they start on Friday at Phil Johnson's Field. I got all kinds of ideas after going to the fields, Mike. When I was in the great. And then was at a tournament this weekend over in East Wenatchee with the Legends Baseball Club, but was checking up, and it was great, and it was a great thing, but I was checking up on Facebook posts and social media on the tournament that was going on right here in our own backyard, Sky Valley. So great reports through social media just on the tournament and the parks and all that, so it was great to see. I just would be remiss not to. I did happen to make it one day down to the U.S. Open on Friday, and what a Chamber of Commerce, you know, day! And if there ever was, an event or something where to show that when you do take a risk, you put yourself out there, and you have big ideas and plans, and you do it right, you know, the county got that right. And bringing in that event that was there and the amount of commerce that was being done, it was absolutely huge. I don't know if any of you guys watched some of the stuff on TV, but it was just absolutely beautiful, gorgeous, and contrary to what you may read in some of the news reports, there was a ton of good publicity and a lot of happy fans there, and even comments about them, when they're coming back. So anyway, that's it.
Thank you. Councilmember Davis. Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Camp.
Nothing.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. I had the opportunity to spend most of my Saturday down at Lake Ty volunteering at the Tri-Monroe. Brad and my teams were amazing down there. The park looked fantastic and everything was completely laid out perfectly. I think all the athletes were loving it. Whoever was in charge of the weather, kudos to them as well. My team, we had just a blast hanging out with the athletes and working with them, directing traffic, cutting bands, throwing them water, whatever we could do. It was just a ton of fun. So,
thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
Just appreciate the mayor's report, Monroe. I really like it, so I'm sure you'll report on it, but thank you. That's it.
Councilmember Hanford.
Thanks, all right.
Thank you. Going out to staff. Sorry, Chris, I didn't mean to be in contact with Chris if I said staff. Mr. Carroll.
Oh, thank you, Mayor. I was just going to add with the Travel Row event, Watson said it was another great event. Got to say that it was safely run, too. We had great weather, which is a factor. Really well planned out. City staff, kudos to Brad. Really, he's been mentoring me with laying out the whole process of planning this event and operating it from an emergency standpoint, emergency operation standpoint. And we had no injuries, no serious injuries at this event, so that was a good thing. And the athletes, there were several hundred athletes. I want to say it was about 600 or so, 500 to 600 athletes, plus their families and coaches and all this other stuff. So it was well over 1,000 people here. And of course, you may know they were from 28 different states across the country, and also Canada and Brazil. So they're coming here, flying here Thursday evening, staying in hotels, eating at our restaurants. So this event is just outstanding for our community. I did receive an email today from the organizer in Colorado Springs for USA Triathlon, thanking us for the wonderful job that the city does to help host this event here. So they're pretty excited about it, and it was a really good day. I was going to report some other things. The last Thursday, the inmates at the Monroe facility. They planted flowers in the islands on time you didn't notice. And also, earlier tonight was mentioned about the, or you approved the rental of kayaks. Another thing that the concessionaire will be providing is free life jackets. Loaners at Lakeside Park. This is a program that's put on by State Kids of Snohomish County, and the Monroe Fire District 3 has been, they've been a source right here in Monroe to loan out life jackets for the past couple of seasons. But bring it out to the lake is really a great enhancement to that program for the community. So there will be about 15 or so life jackets of various sizes that will be available to people who are at that time.
Thank you. Ms. Nelson?
Nothing tonight.
Okay. Mr. Osaki?
A couple items on department staffing and resources right now. So we have, an on-call consultant services for permitting review with a consultant, but that contract and agreement expired earlier this month. So we had gone out with a new RFP, reviewed some RFPs, and selected a firm, and we hope to bring that agreement before council for your approval as early as July 7th. And the urgency for that, to some extent, is another matter, is that one of the planners on our staff, Nick Holland, has accepted another position with another city. And so if you happen to know Nick, you might want to just stop by and say hello to him and congratulate him on his new position. But that puts us in a pretty planning side, it puts us in a pretty extreme position where we have one planner out on family leave, and now we have a vacancy. So we're advertising for that other vacancy and hoping we get some candidates and can get someone on board as quickly as possible.
And on that note, under job openings in the Monroe this week, you'll note that we have a senior planner position and associate planner position both being advertised at the same time. And our city administrator sent out an email to you indicating that we were looking for for a full-time planner. We recognize that that's not in the budget right now. If we do end up getting two applicants for each of those positions, we'll come back in for this, for the second one and discuss funding and whatnot. But it's one of those challenges. We need to make certain we're processing permits. We need to make certain that we are responsive at the counter. And, that's where economic development, that's where the rubber hits the road, is getting the permits out of here and getting people onto construction. So we are, we're working very diligently to take care of the comp plan and take care of everything else while simultaneously getting things out the door. And in about a week here, you're looking at our planning component of the community development director right there in the blue shirt. Until Melissa comes back. If you know of people that are planners out there that might be interested in coming and working for a great organization, you might let them know that there's an opening here. And that is, again, why we're going to get the rush for the professional services contract for permitting assistance to you as soon as we can. The other item that we discussed very briefly last week was relative to this, is that the comprehensive plan, one of the ways we can open up bandwidth a little bit is to look at potentially getting approval from the state to move the comprehensive plan submittal out a couple months so that we can continue processing permits for the summer. So I let our community development director know that if that's a direction that he feels that we need to go, that we'll bring that up to council for discussion to see whether or not that's something you're interested in doing, just so that you can get out of the door. I know that there are other jurisdictions that are in a similar position right now, and that they may be making similar requests in the near future. So we'll have more for you on that in early July. Mr. Osaki, do you have anything else for this evening?
No, that's it.
Okay. Chief Windsor?
Nothing for the from the police department, but personally, I will let you know that I completed the Saddle Sore 1000 on Saturday. Basically, it is going to Missoula, Montana, and back for lunch. And I don't think I'll be, well, that day I said I don't think I'll be doing it again, but I just got an announcement for the some similar, except it's 1,500 miles.
No, that explains the tan.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mr. Proudberg.
Thank you. Did you notice that there's a lot less fencing downtown?
Yes.
So they're getting really close. They should be all wrapped up. It's the big construction by the end of this week. There'll still be some little stuff to do with that. The contract for the West Main project is out, has been awarded. Notice to proceed for that contractor is the 1st of July. They, however, are going to wait till the 6th of July so they don't have 2 days of work and then take a 3-day weekend. So they'll just wait until after the 4th of July holiday and then start. So, and right now, if the weather holds, they think they're going to be done in 25 working days, which would be the beginning of August. So.
Sweet.
Does anybody have any questions about that?
Okay. I encourage everybody not only to get out there and visit and see the way everything's looking out there. It looks really great, but also get out there and shop our businesses in downtown. We are actively in communication with the Chamber of Commerce and a couple other, and then some private businesses about trying to recruit people to come to downtown. And you know, that's part and parcel to what I hope you all are also doing. If you see a business out there that you think would be interested in locating in Monroe, whether it's downtown or anywhere else, that you know, go ahead and talk with them. Feel free to have them come in and meet with me and our city administrator and our community development director. And you know, we're happy to have conversations with people to help facilitate things coming here. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. That jogged my memory. Over the weekend, my wife and I went to downtown Seattle for 24th anniversary, and so we got to stay there, bus around town, walk around town, eat outside on the sidewalk, and I was paying close attention to the sidewalk dimensions to see, okay, I think that's about right, and I think it's going to be a great, great match for our businesses downtown, so.
Thank you. Brad, do you have anything else to report?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Okay. And when do you think? So, I would like to know when construction is going to begin on Turney Place. We have a relative of Turney, a former member of Turney. We're talking about her coming out and doing first turn of the shovel or something, because Turney Place is named after her father or grandfather. I forget which, but just FYI for everybody. Okay. Liz, do you have anything for this evening? I know that you usually don't have anything, but is there anything from you? Okay. All right, just a couple of things from me then. A lot of jurisdictions, the mayor or the city manager will issue what they call a mayor's report or a mayor's newsletter each week. I don't stand on formality as much as maybe I should. So what I'm doing is I'm going to try to do this weekly where it's just called Monroe This Week. And what it is sort of a retrospective of just a highlight of some of the things from this week. Some of the examples we looked at were pages long and very detailed. Some of them were like way broad. Why'd you do it? And so we're going to try to have like little short articles in here that talk briefly about some of the things that happened last week, you know, decisions council's made and whatnot, and then also talk about a couple of the things that are coming up in the upcoming week. I've sort of set up a template here where on the left side it's got contact information for the council as a whole, the hours, any openings for boards and commissions. Since we haven't appointed anybody to these boards or commissions yet, I've decided to leave them on there since those were open until filled. We did get applications for those, by the way. I just haven't had a chance to review them yet. I'm going to have a list of events for this week on the side. And then the next page, I'm working with staff on this week. We're going to have a little bit of Monroe by the numbers. So, for example, for our revenue for sales tax this year to date, right now we're running about $225,000 ahead of last year as of May 31st. So we thought we'd go ahead and have in the pane there just 2014 year to date compared to 2015 year to date. Real estate excise tax the same way, because that gives you an idea of how things are going in the market for housing, and then also for business licenses. And then I'll be talking probably the following week with Mr. Osaki about having some information in there about building permit activity. And the idea there being that if you're interested in locating in Monroe, you can pull these reports up and just see by the numbers on the side to get an idea of what our gross retail revenues are here, how it compares to last year, how well houses are selling here,
So those are all indicators that are important, not just for us for budgeting, but also give an indication of our economic health here as compared to last year. Some of the other things in there that I want to point out to you, we did get a grant for, let me see, I had somebody request that we consider doing recycling bins in the parks last year, and I spoke with staff about that. They, i.e. Mike Farrell, Mr. Farrell, found a grant to apply for, and the grant is, there is, with Keep America Beautiful and the Coca-Cola Foundation. They awarded the City of Monroe 6 recycling bins. Those are going to be placed throughout our parks, including Lake Tye Park and also the Skycomish River Park. So you can see those come to a park near you here pretty shortly. And I think that's about it that I have right now. From that, the last thing, just giving a perspective of the upcoming week and the next week. Remember, we do not have a meeting next week. I've got some meetings coming up with the Master Builders Association to talk about the things that Monroe has to offer, how building is going here, and so on. That, I think, is next week, or it might be the week after. I've got some meetings going on with the City of Sultan later this week. And as you know, there's a ribbon cutting, I think, at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock at the Dreadnought Brewery. Everybody's invited to that. And then we have the Goodwill. We have the tour of Goodwill also. I think that's at 3 o'clock on Thursday. Does that sound right? We'll get an email to you with those. But council is certainly invited to attend the Goodwill tour on Thursday, and then also the ribbon cutting on Thursday also. As usual, if you know, it would be helpful to know if you're going to attend, if you can email me with a copy to Liz if we're going to have a quorum. We'd just like to know about that, you know, 24 hours in advance so that we can do whatever notice might be required. And Chris, you and any other reporters are also able to attend both of those if you want to. The ribbon cutting is not mine to invite you to, but the Goodwill one is. So. All right, does anybody have any questions? Councilor Kodak.
Just wanted to mention that Thursday, the 25th, from 5 to 7, Rotary is having an after-hours, chamber after-hours at Everett Community College, if anyone's interested in attending that. So I think that sounds like it's the same night as the open air, is that next week?
Yeah, it's the same night as the
At 4:30, okay.
And then after-hours at 5:30.
And walk over and walk to Everett.
And then just maybe this is a question for Diana. So something that the mayor mentioned about just putting the sales tax revenue on that sheet to have probably more transparency and just sharing information. Do any cities have a one-page sheet that's kind of key performance indicators that they update monthly, and on there is sales tax revenue? So you know how we get the whole budget, but you pull out sales tax revenue, permits. You know, what are your key indicators of success? You do it in business, right? You look at your key performance indicators on a monthly basis or quarterly basis, and it's a snapshot of, so for us, just off the top of my head, obviously sales tax revenue, permits being, a couple of things. It just gives you a quick snapshot of economically and business-wise how the city's doing. But it's on one page, so it's not like you're looking through multiple documents to... Do any cities look at that?
Every city does it differently. I give you guys the monthly page.
But that's about budget, right? I mean, so there's other key performance indicators that a city might want to look at, such as how many permits are being issued, how many, plats are being developed, that would just be finance. It's a broader view of kind of how the city's doing, and you're just tracking those key performance indicators.
So, Councilmember Kodak, one of the things that I asked for when I first came here was a dashboard, which you're talking about in some places, some management tools, they call it a dashboard. And we just haven't been able to reach the point with staffing yet to identify what those key indicators should be and then to update on a regular basis. If I can get this newsletter get into the habit of getting this out on a weekly basis with some of those key indicators on the left side. One of the things we were talking about was like building permit activity and things like that, but we want to make it useful for
for citizens there. If I can then extract that information and put it into a monthly report to council, that's something that I am interested in doing. It's just something that hasn't we haven't done yet.
And I don't know if the HR Finance Committee, with who's on that, would be, you know, if that's an interest of also looking at, are there any key, you know, putting your heads together about what are the key performance indicators, and then knowing what the staff think or what the mayor thinks, it might be good to have a couple people look at it. It's broader than just finance, or it could be some items that are particular to our city that we're tracking for just this year. It could be downtown businesses being opened, or empty storefronts being filled. That could be a key indicator this year if we're seeing success. I mean, we don't know as a city, off the top of our head, how many are empty, but that is a good indicator if we're getting those 20 that are empty filled, and you'd be looking at that monthly. Even though we don't control it, it's an indicator of how the community's doing overall.
So, I mean, you threw out the finance, HR, I mean, it's basically what you're talking about, like you said, in business. You look at your long-term plan, and then you would develop your KPIs on an annual basis on how it's doing. So, I mean, we're going through the comprehensive plan right now.
Yeah.
We're coming with the 8 goals, and then we've got the mayor with this, you know, the letters coming out, and you're going to be putting some stuff in there. Maybe it would be prudent to do it after we finalize the comprehensive plan, mayor puts that through, and then refer it to the HR Finance Committee to come back with some sort of recommendation for it. Yeah. And then something we would review annually.
Yes.
As these are going to be the KPIs for 2015, these would be the KPIs for 2016.
Yeah,
good.
Definitely. And it's just a one-page snapshot.
Sounds good.
You know, easy to look at.
All right.
I would invite everybody to send me an email with the indicators that you'd like to have on a sheet, and if there are things that we can pull together in the near term. To me, the concern is staffing, and I just want to make certain, and I've been very careful, even with Monroe this week. I had asked the staff last week, tell me, do you feel this is going to be something that's going to be useful? I don't want, you know, we're down 2 planners right now. We're down, we're down an admin staff member. We're down an accountant, and I need to make certain the bread and butter is getting taken care of. So, if you could send me what it is that you're looking for, I'll see what I can do to help help staff bring that material together. Again, having a dashboard is a management tool that I've wanted to have for a while. It's just when we're dealing with any number of other things, it's been something I've put on the back burner. So I would invite each of you to email me what it is that you're looking for, and I'll see what we can do to incorporate it either into the Monroe this week, or that we can start working on through a dashboard and maybe bring it forward, you know, as late as September, October, but maybe sooner. Just to give you an idea that I've thought about this is that when I do the budget, the budget that I bring to you as a proposal, I've asked staff to bring forward to me like miles of roadway that we've resurfaced for the year, you know, miles of pipe that we've replaced. I want to be able to report out on those metrics. There are a lot of people that like to see those metrics. They like to know that they're getting something for their dollar, not just a one-time event, not just a this or a that, but they like to know that they've got durable things that we've invested in, and I'd like to be able to point those out. You know, we've had people come in and talk about crime and things like that, and we are doing an enormous amount of work to keep crime down and whatnot, but when you're looking at social media, that's not always apparent. And when I've got the facts that I can bring forward, you know, this is what we've been doing, and yes, there are places we could do better. Having those facts that I can report out to you on a monthly basis will be helpful. Things that we can share with the public will be helpful, and then like that we know where our deficiencies are and we can correct for those things as part of the annual budget. So again, if you could email me what your thoughts are for items that you'd like, we will work on that over the next couple months, and things that I can incorporate earlier, we'll go ahead and we'll put that into material and start bringing that forward. Okay? Thank you, and thank you very much for the discussion. Okay. Are there any other items for this evening? Jennifer. Again, we do not have a council meeting on the 30th of June. Our next council meeting is on July 7th, and we're already adding to the agenda the fats, oils, and greases amendment ordinance. So that'll be on for July 7th. We'll add that to the agenda. Are there any other additions or deletions for the July 7th agenda? Okay.
For the extended agenda then, if you please take a look at that. If you are not going to be present for any of these days, please let us know. And then do you have any additions or deletions for the extended agenda? Please note that right now we are planning on canceling the August 4th, 2015. Formal action does not get approved for that, but that's my audience front. Okay, the last item that I have is we have 4th of July coming up. I encourage everybody to celebrate 4th of July, have a great time, be safe. Okay, the conditions are really dry out there right now, and just please be safe and have a great time, have a happy 4th, and that's all I have for this evening. Oh, staff report on land sales. Do we have a staff report on land sales tonight? Mr. Bradley is not here right now. He normally would give out that. So we'll just go ahead and wait for July 7th on that. Okay, and I don't know if you would call on first, so I don't know. Councilmember Camp.
Second.
Motion to adjourn to Councilmember Camp. Second, Councilmember Gamble. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Have a great 4th of July and see you in 2 weeks.
4th of July. Bye.